This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
I'm Rod V. Subramanian.
Last week, we talked about the words used to describe the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. For this week, let's talk about the disinformation that ultimately incited the mob. Pointer talked to experts about that disinformation and asked them to explain why this is so important. And perhaps that can be our starting point, Raj V. Why is it so important to point out and talk about the disinformation that led to this insurrection?
See, first of all, we need to have some kind of conceptual definition of misinformation and disinformation. See, misinformation can be information that is spread regardless whether there is an intent to mislead. On the contrary, disinformation are messages that are deliberately misleading. It's very biased and it's manipulated narrative. That's pretty much is disinformation. And also we need to keep in mind this disinformation as certain platforms where people congregate to this particular platform so that it resonates with the point of view. And it gets amplified when they listen to this content again and again and think whatever that's being said or whatever the information that's exposed is truth, which invariably led to the fact that this election was a fraud, this election was stolen, and these words were repeated again and again and again, and people think it's unfair. By letting someone who genuinely won this election and not being able to continue with this presidency where he was doing such a great job in terms of making America great. And this is what exactly happened, what you call also in other terms called echo chamber, where people are keeping or listening to the same content again and again and think this is the fact. And this is not healthy for democracy because, on the contrary, we see there have been thousands and thousands of election officials across all the parties who overlooked the entire election process, and they have certified it. It's being done in a very balanced and fair manner, and people are not able to come to terms with it because they don't agree to the fact that this was a fair election, possibly because of the disinformation proliferated by so many media platforms, either online or mainstream television as well.
And this, again, speaks to media literacy. People need to be educated. They need to be wise about how they choose, how they're going to be informed, and who's going to do that informing. And you need to ask yourself, what is the intention of this so-called media organization that you are getting your news and information from? And I think that helps us distinguish, misinformation, disinformation, where misinformation is there's that intent there, as Rajvi said. And disinformation is something that could come along by honest mistake. But again, you need to find reliable sources that are tried and true that are going to provide you just the facts, just the unvarnished information that you need. And when we're talking about that, there is, and it's readily present, especially after these last 4 years, there are those news organizations, at least masquerading as such, that are attempting to persuade or dissuade people from one opinion or point of view to the next. And I think it's about intention. And I think we need to be, as a people, more informed about who we're getting our information from. And we have to be more selective in doing that.
The documentary filmmaker Ken Burns was on Morning Edition today. And he said he believes 2020 had an unprecedented perfect storm with three major viruses. One of them was COVID-19, the second was white supremacy, and the other was misinformation. For journalism purposes, for this program, misinformation, for him to call this a virus shows how important this is. He's basically calling this a sickness, something that's very wrong with our country. I also want to say that this misinformation and disinformation didn't begin with Donald Trump. And I feel like conservatives for a long time, and I'm not blaming all conservatives or even the conservative political philosophy, But there have been some conservatives, usually the very wealthy, who continually complain about the liberal media. We've been fed this nonsense about there being a liberal bias in the media for many years. And you keep repeating something like that, and eventually it takes on, to some people, it becomes the truth.
And I think it took a dramatic news event and the greatest health scare in generations, a pandemic, the first in a century.
In 100 years, right.
Yeah, in a century to do that. And you're right, this has been brewing for some time. And I think it took a pandemic to suddenly really cast aspersions and spread the misinformation that we're seeing, where we've politicized a health scare. And that's what happened here. And I don't think that's overstating it, Ken Burns said. Being misinformed is akin to something as unhealthy as a virus. I mean, not physically, but look what it's done to our country and look at the damage that we have to undo. And, think about how we were 4 years ago or maybe even before that. And again, this has been its own epidemic, really. I don't think that's overstating it either.
See, the problem is, misinformation and disinformation has been there for a long time. I would like to give you a small story, very interesting story that happened in India. See, in India, when a person comes to your house, we usually give them sweets. We give them chocolates just to show our concern and love for people. And what happened was, apparently off late, there are a lot of kidnapping that's going on in the country where people give chocolates laced with some sedatives to kids and kidnap them. And apparently some people, in Karnataka, people from a nearby city, they want to go on a picnic. They give some sweets to a local villager kids. And apparently somebody saw that and said, oh, these people are trying to kidnap this kids. They went in a big mob and they bled some of them to death. So what the problem is, there is a lot of misinformation about people are giving chocolates to kids and kidnapping them. So what happens is, people even with good intention who just wanted to share some goodies with some small kids, they ended up getting dead. Similarly, that's what happened even at Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., that, people thought, okay, man, I'm going to go fight for this and all this stuff. But what happened is, we eventually got so many people dead because of this misinformation and disinformation. Again, this is what is kind of terribly, because these are like preventable deaths. And all because of this disinformation that's completely misleading and biased, resulted in the loss of so many lives. And that's kind of really heartbreaking that, it's something that, we'll have to step up our game and sometimes not just carried away by whatever we see in one platform or one news channel. We need to kind of look at into what others are saying and talking about it. What the other major media outlets or what the other media are talking about the same issue that you think that's right. So this is what, again, as Will was pointing out, media literacy is key. You need to get out of your comfort zone to see whether this is information that I need to believe and take some action, whether I can take this vaccine or not, whether this vaccine is good or not. All this information is there available online, and the sources can be misleading. Some people say, oh, don't take this vaccine, people are dying. Some people will keep kind of repeating the same thing and again, what happens? People don't want to believe in vaccines. And that's why there are people who are experts who have studied vaccines, who write about vaccines all their life, try to see what they are talking about, how they're actually making or manufacturing this vaccine, what are the cons, what are the pros. This is how information is crucial for you to make decision, and this is where journalism comes to place, whether this was done in a credible news organization, whether I can trust the reporter's credibility, whether I can trust the organization's credibility to trust this information and take action.
Well, I will tell you that Fox News will argue that it's a credible news source. And I'm not sure they're always giving you the type of information you're talking about, for example, with the vaccines. I don't think they're basing what they're reporting on. I think what they're reporting on is not always based on science.
Yeah, and just the power of suggestion. And because there are so many people out there, because the technology leads itself to that, we can get into talking about how, you know, as we talked about before on this program, how news is supposed to be treated and how it's become not just it should be a public asset, but it's become a commodity. And because of that, there's this business model that had arisen for several years ago and has made it such. And so it's up to each and every one of us to believe and to follow who we want to. And therein lies the problem. How do we undo that? Aside from having programs like this on public radio and talking and addressing this problem time after time, I just wonder how we undo the damage that especially we've had in recent history and how we can try to set the record straight. Because this industry is more crucial and more important than ever before, but there's been so much damage wrought because of it and so much division. I just wonder how we emerge from it.
And a quick word of caution to everybody who's listening, please don't take your decisions based on information that you see on social media, that you are seeing on someone's wall or somebody's post. When you want to take a decision that is directly going to affect your life, go to places, go do some research on some on organizations and all those people who are reporting on this issues, and see whether there's something that you can take action on. And please don't stick to just one media content. You need to kind of, you know, diversify a lot of media content so that you have a better understanding of the topic that you are keeping in mind. And that's very crucial.
Okay, thanks, Rajvi. Thanks, Will. We're going to wrap up our discussion for this week. Our listeners can join us again next week here at tspr.org for more of Shop Talk.